Welcome to the Brilliant Business Moms Podcast, episode 76, with Sarah Kornack and Bethann Schwamberger. Today on the show, we're talking with Kay Putnam. Kay talks with us about branding, and she has tons of good information to give us. You'll hear us mention a couple of times on the podcast a brand quiz that we took, and this brand quiz can be found on her website, kputnam.com. She calls it a brand personality quiz. Bethann and I both found this quiz to be super, super helpful, so I highly encourage you to take the brand personality quiz on Kay's website, kputnam.com. And also, while you're on her website, she has launched a new podcast, the In Demand Brand Podcast, so you can also check that out. Her episodes are nice little short snippets of information for you and your branding of your company. So definitely check those out because she knows what she's talking about when it comes to branding. And it's definitely a topic that we've heard before. People are always talking about branding, but I really feel like Kay is able to communicate what that means for you and your company in a very simple and clear, concise way. I know you're going to learn a lot from this episode, so let's get started.
You're listening to the Brilliant Business Moms Podcast, practical business advice for startup moms.
Today on the podcast, we are so excited to welcome Kay Putnam. She leads marketing and branding strategy at the agency Infinitus, where she helps clients that range from paleo cookbooks to a national nonprofit stand out in our crowded world and build relationships with their audiences. She also co-hosts the Limitless Business Podcast with the CEO of the agency, Scott Oldford. And this year, Kay is branching out and she's launching limitlessbusiness.com. It'll have a curated collection of business stories and lessons learned from business leaders, and she'll have a podcast as well. It will be the In Demand Brand. And above all, Kay believes in playing big and making brands personal. And on a personal level for Kay, she's a proud mom to 2-year-old son, Afton, and a Boston Terrier, Zoe. Of course, we have to include the dogs.
Absolutely.
My dog, Gus, definitely gets included on my list as well. And she's also a military spouse and lives in Honolulu, Hawaii. So welcome to the show, Kay.
Bethann and Sarah, thank you so much for having me. I was telling you before we started the official recording that I'm a little bit nervous, so bear with me, but I'm totally geeked and excited to be here.
We're really glad to have you too. Could you tell us a little bit more about yourself and what you do in your line of work?
Yeah, absolutely. And it's been an evolution for the last couple of years. So my title and my company has changed a few times. But what happened was, like you mentioned, I'm a military spouse and we moved. So I ended up having to quit another great marketing job that I loved. And I realized that traditional employment really wasn't working for me. I had to start over every time we moved and try to build up a new network. And it was really slow. And I really had to keep taking steps back in my career, which just wasn't working. So a couple of years ago, I decided that that was enough. And I decided to make the transition into online marketing and online business. I started out freelancing, and from there, I have now taken a full-time position at a digital marketing agency, actually based out of Canada. We're 7.5 hours apart. Our whole team is remote across North America. And again, in my intro, we've been creating a podcast. We've been writing lots of blog posts. We create a weekly newsletter, and all of those things have been going really, really well, but they happen to confuse people when they encounter the agency. So we're branching out that whole section of our business into a new website. So kind of in summary, I'm super passionate about branding and making companies and media brands and websites more personal, more vulnerable, more authentic. So that's what I help companies do, and that's what I do for myself.
Great. And so let's talk a little bit more about branding and why it's so important. I think many many people think that brands are, they think of it more as, you know, just a logo or certain colors or something along those lines, but it's really about so much more than that. Can you explain branding in a bit more detail and why it's so important?
I'm so glad that you brought that up because that is a very common misconception. Lots of designers brand themselves. Not to convolute the word even more, but they brand themselves as a branding service. But what they're really offering is just a logo, design, color scheme, the visual aspects of a brand. But your brand is not only the visual aspects, but every other association that people have when they think of your business or think of you. So a brand is really born out of the experience that customers have with you. So every touch point, you know, whether they're coming to your Etsy shop or to your website or talking to you on the phone, all of those things are contributing to your brand. And to get into a little bit why brands are important, there's a few really, really exciting reasons why paying attention to your brand can help your business. And the first one is kind of obvious, is business equity. And what I mean by that is we know that Starbucks can charge $3 or $4 for a cup of coffee when the gas station down the road only charges 50 cents or a dollar because of their brand. They've built up enough equity in their brands that they're able to support higher prices. So that's really exciting, especially for people who sell products. Second, you're going to attract more opportunities to your brand. So if you ever partner, say, with other podcasts like you guys, or if you are partnering with maybe another maker, another shop, you attract more of those opportunities to yourself naturally if you have a strong brand. People get excited about working with you, which is fun because it takes the sales part out of doing business. And a lot of people find the sales part really icky and not much fun. So by concentrating on your brand, you start attracting people to you instead of having to go out and find new people all the time. And lastly, the reason why brands are really exciting to me and such an important part of business, it really touches every aspect of your business, is if you are doing something remarkable, something that people are excited about, people naturally start to talk about you more. So this reduces advertising costs. People don't have to, you don't have to spend, again, so much time going after people. You don't have to spend so much time pushing your products because people are excited to talk about you because they have an emotional connection with your brand. So you naturally get more customers and more market share.
Could you give some practical advice for that mom entrepreneur who's trying to grow her business? How can she either develop her brand or maybe, first of all, discover what her brand style is?
The first thing that I like to do when I'm building a brand, and this is going to sound a little woo-woo, but it's really, really important. So before you start to think about colors, before you start to think about font or graphics or even necessarily the customer experience that you're going to give people, I always ask personal brands, mom entrepreneurs, anybody that I'm working with to back up and really think about the values that their business communicates. So I'm imagining that a lot of people in your audience, that you're the person that's listening, you probably have really strong family values. And a lot of people try to communicate that through their business's brand, which is fantastic because it gives people an emotional connection to your products. Because there's probably 17,000 other people that are selling the same thing. So if you can add another level of detail onto your company, so you're not just selling a commodity, you're not just selling products, you're displaying and communicating your values through your brand and through your business, that'll endear people to you so much more. So that's the first thing I recommend that people do is really do some, you know, sit down and do that work to figure out what your values are. For me, my values are playing big. I believe wholeheartedly that my situation shouldn't dictate the level of success that I have. So even though I'm a military spouse and I've had to move around the country 4 or 5 times, however many times it's been, I'm starting to lose track, to be honest. You know, even though that I'm a mom, there's a certain level of success that I want to reach in my business. And I'm really passionate about doing that in my own way, for sure, keeping my family in mind, but I still want to have the level of success that I want. So that's one of my values that I communicate through my brand, and people who have that same value get attracted to me naturally.
That makes a lot of sense. And I have to say, I really loved your brandality quiz.
Thanks.
That was, yeah, super fun. And Sarah and I actually, we both did the quiz separately. And I was so curious to see, okay, do we both get the same answer? Like, are we on the same page? Like, what Brilliant Business Moms is all about and what we're portraying here. And we did. And
that's fantastic.
Yeah, that was pretty fun to see because, like, in real life, personality-wise, our personalities are very different, which works well because, you know, we make a great team. But it was kind of like, okay, are we on the same page with our brand personality? And yeah, we were. And it's interesting that you mentioned, you know, you would think like, okay, for example, we're both military spouses. We're both moms with younger children. We both love our dogs. Those are kids on some level. We both moved a lot. You would think like our brand personality might be very similar, but they're actually not, you know. Mm-hmm. So I think that's such a good point. And I would recommend for people to go take your quiz, and we'll definitely link to that in our show notes. Ours for Brilliant Business Moms is actually the girl next door personality.
Yep, I can see that. I can totally see that.
Yeah.
You guys are doing a great job of communicating your brand personality.
Oh, great. So let me ask, and this might be putting you on the spot a little bit, but so like for that brand personality, let's, you know, just take girl next door. What are some of like the key recommendations you would give us to make sure we stay true to that?
At first, I'm going to back up for just a second. So after figuring out what your values is, the second thing I recommend is definitely figuring out the personality that you're going to communicate those values through. So you guys did the exact right thing, and you took the quiz on my website, which was a fun afternoon type of thing. So the challenge that I kept running into with my own personal brand is that I didn't want to necessarily niche down based on the service I was providing. In the agency, I do a lot of different things. I manage ads, I write content, I do brand strategy, I do marketing strategy, all these different things. I didn't necessarily want to put a label on myself that way. So I wanted to make sure that I was differentiating myself in a very tangible way, but in a way that didn't pigeonhole me into a specific thing. So I started doing research into archetypes, personality archetypes, and these archetypes show up in movies, in our friends, in families, in, you know, storybooks, everywhere. And it's, as it turns out, brands that communicate these specific archetypes become something that people feel familiar with. They recognize what you stand for really quickly. So your brand personality is a really powerful way to stand out from the rest of the market. Because like you said, even though we might have a lot of similarities on paper, the way that we communicate ourselves is going to be really differently. So to go into your question, the girl next door, the two most important things for a girl next door brand is A, to build a community of peers. You're not necessarily going to position yourself as a leader in the market. You're the person that people go to when they need a shoulder, they need some friendly advice, they need somebody that's not going to talk down to them. They want somebody who is going to relate with them on their level. So that's the girl next door communication style. And then as far as tangibles go, a great thing that brand personality can do is work on building community. So if, like you're doing with this podcast, you're bringing women, you know, bringing mothers together to talk about their businesses, you're doing a great job of building that community of people who can relate to each other and who have something in common with each other. So that's a fantastic way to communicate that brand personality. So in addition to speaking in a very relatable way and building a community, some interesting ways that you can communicate your brand visually is to look at other brands that have a very strong community and a very kind of like a salt of the earth, very relatable type of brand. So a person that I think in the online marketing space that communicates the same brand personality that you guys do is Amy Porterfield. Everything that she puts out is very clear, concise, and friendly. Being friendly is really important for the girl next door brand archetype. And visually, what I'd like to see you guys do is make sure that you stick to a visual style that's very relatable. So anything that looks like a Vogue magazine, you're going to stay away from because they have a very elitist, very royal brand archetype. So you want to make sure that everything that you're doing is extremely friendly, easy on the eyes, easy to understand, extremely relatable. So I hope that helps you guys a little bit with your brand personality.
Definitely. I think, too, that kind of explains, like, I know we've kind of debated different like headers, for example, for our site, and we both really decided that even though it's not typical to have our smiling faces at the top, you know, of our site right in the header, but it kind of fits us. It's kind of like that, hey, how are you? Here we are.
Absolutely. Yep. That's fantastic that you guys have yourself there, because you want to be relating to the people that are coming to your site. You want to build that personal relationship, like a friend relationship, with the people that you're serving. So that's a perfect example of what you should do with the girl next door archetype.
That's awesome. And I think it has been really encouraging. I think just taking that quiz and confirming, I think what we kind of felt like, okay, this is where we fit, but confirming that was the case. And when you talked about building community, I was just so excited because we have a private Facebook group and it's been awesome. Like, it's just really been like, these women in our group truly are friends, and it's just been so fun getting to know them and building that relationship. And like you said too, it definitely is this place where someone is feeling discouraged, they'll come in the group and say like, this happened today, guys, and I'm just pretty bummed about it, and what should I do? And like, everybody's just jumping on board to like encourage and help out. And yeah, it's totally, I think we
love that. Love that. And you guys need to think about having group coaching, but position it in a way that you guys are just growing together. You're learning together. That would be an excellent way for you guys to position a future program, perhaps, because that type of support is what you're going to deliver most consistently based on your brand.
You mentioned in some of the material that you gave us that it's okay to rebrand and to change things. I was surprised. I didn't realize that it can be okay to rebrand sometimes. Could you talk about that a little bit more?
This is a struggle that I've had personally, and I might be just giving myself permission by saying this. But anytime your business goals change, if your current brand doesn't fit it, you have to get rid of it. You have to realign yourself with your new goals, with your new audience, if that happens to change. When I first started in online marketing, I started a website called SuccessfulMilitaryWives.com because I imagined that I was going to teach other military spouses like myself how to start online businesses, how to freelance, how to work remotely. I did that for a while, and that was great. I had made some great connections, made some great relationships, but as I started getting deeper and deeper into the agency world, that old brand that I had built didn't necessarily fit my new goals. So as that changed, I gave myself permission to get rid of that site and start my new site. Now, the way that you get away with this without totally confusing people is that values work that I talked about a little while ago. If you are consistently communicating the same values to people, people understand that you're still the same person. Your focus is just changing a little bit as time goes on.
That makes sense. And then speaking a little bit more about your brand personality, I thought that this new work project that you're doing, I thought this was really interesting. And I think it kind of does, it fits your personality of going big. So that was your goal of receiving 100 rejection letters. Can you talk a little bit more about that?
Yes. So I stumbled on Tiffany Haas's website, and I'm not even sure if I'm pronouncing her last name correctly. She also has a podcast. I've never spoken to her ever, but she has this project that I completely ripped and duplicated for my own purposes. She has a blog that she calls the 100 Rejection Letters Project. I'm like, as soon as I saw that, I'm like, that is freaking amazing. I absolutely need to do that for myself. I've had an internal block about reaching out to people. For example, reaching out to you ladies to be on this podcast was kind of like a, you know, like my heart is in my chest or heart is in my throat, like sweating as I press the send button type of deal. I know in my head that I need to do these types of things if I want to build my personal brand, if I want to help more people, if I want to, you know, tell more people about branding. It's just a part of the process. So I think being kind of a traditional like A+ teacher's pet type of person, I always want to have 100% average. That's just my personality and in the way I've been groomed. And I'm teaching myself through this 100 rejection letter project that I'm doing over the 90 days that rejection and failing is okay. It's just part of the process. So my goal is to reach out to people who I've been meaning to reach out to, say like other podcasters, places where I could guest post, places And some of it is just as simple as I've been following some people online, which sounds, this is going to sound creepy, so let me preface it with that. But I've been following some people online for like 2 years now, and I've never even reached out and said hello, aside from maybe a tweet here and there. So I really want to set up Skype calls, 15-minute Skype calls, just to build some relationship in a deeper way than just a casual tweet or a Facebook comment. So I'm putting together as many opportunities like that as I can in the next 90 days. And I'm just forcing myself to do it because I'm putting the focus, I'm making it okay to get the no, because that's the worst that is going to happen. It's not like my life is going to be over if somebody says, no, you're probably not the best fit for our podcast or whatever their no is. That's completely fine with me. Or if I reach out to a website that's a little bit out of my comfort zone for guest posting and they're like, no, not right now. That's okay, because that's going to be the goal of my project, is to not be the A-plus student, to just take action and to fail a little bit. So I'm excited.
That sounds awesome. That's an amazing idea. I'm curious how it's going. Like, are you getting up to your 100, or are you getting more positive responses than you expected?
I'm totally getting more yeses than I thought. I don't even think I've gotten a no yet, so I'm failing at failing. But now I'm finally taking action, which was the end goal.
Absolutely. Are you reaching out to these people in anticipation of your new projects that you're undertaking, your new website and new podcast?
Yes. And I think that through all of my brand evolutions that I've gone through, I mentioned the military related website that I had, and I've had my Brandality website up for a bit. There was really some insecurity with me, which is kind of ironic since I teach people about branding, but I was a little bit insecure about my brand because I didn't have it nailed yet. Now I'm finally at this point where I feel comfortable and I feel confident that I can help a lot of people. So I'm really excited about reaching out into, you know, growing my network, building those relationships so that I can help people. So I'm not just talking to myself and my mother on my podcast.
Do you mind sharing what your brand personality is?
Absolutely. So mine is the one that I actually find the most challenging to translate, but mine is the magician. And what the magician is really good at is taking complex concepts and complex information and weird ways that the world works and translating it into something that's a little bit easy to understand, and then also allowing people to go through a sort of a transformative process. So they start in one state, I work with them, and then they come out looking completely different. So I think that fits the whole brand process rather well, because people start in kind of an unrefined, kind of muddy state. And when we work together, they come out the other side looking really refined and really confident about their own personal brand or store brand or corporate brand, whatever the case is.
That definitely makes sense. I think that fits well, because I have to say, when you first mentioned branding and let's talk about branding, I was like, oh boy, this is like, I don't know what this is all about. Like, I'm really like, I think that's exactly right, that you're taking something that is pretty complex, and there are obviously so many different ways to portray a brand and a brand's personality, and you're simplifying it for the people that you work with. So
I'm trying. Thank you. Thank you. I appreciate that.
Oh, and I have to say real quick, it cracks Sarah and I up when people are nervous to reach out to us.
Oh, I know.
I think we're like, really? Us? Like, we're just little old us. You know what I mean? So, and I think that comes back to the girl next door thing. It's almost like and maybe we shouldn't tell people how accessible we are. Like, we're just us. Like, it's no big deal. But yeah, that is interesting. And I have to say too, I don't know, maybe I view the whole world as like everybody else is a girl next door or a guy next door. So like, I never am nervous to reach out to people and be like, hey, I'm Beth Ann, here's what we're doing.
I love that. I'm so jealous.
I'm just like, hey.
I know, but okay. I'm nervous for us when Beth Ann does do that.
Sometimes Sarah's like, wait, you said what on that lady's blog? Like, wait, what? And I'm like, yeah, I mean, she's just a person just like us.
Yep. So true. So true.
Sorry, that was a random aside.
To build off of your aside, I think that's why I was more okay with reaching out to you guys because you're doing a really great job of being very relatable and very personal. So it was a little bit safer to reach out to you than to some of people that maybe have a different brand personality who've positioned themselves a little bit differently. So you guys are doing a great job.
Yay.
I was curious, is your new website Limitless Business? It seems like maybe that's going in like a little bit of a different direction from the branding. It's more stories about people's entrepreneurial success and things like that. Or maybe you could tell us what your new website is going to focus on.
I'd love to. So the new website, limitlessbusiness.com, is going to be a collection of voices. So I'm going to be one of those voices on that site, and I'll be talking about emotional branding, providing value, all of those things that are inside of my zone of genius. But I'm actually putting together kind of a rock star cast of business leaders who are also going to be sharing their stories about business in their zone of genius. So it's going to be a collection of people, of business leaders. Lots of them we've actually met through our podcast, which has been a fantastic relationship building tool. But the thing that we noticed about content online is that everybody is overwhelmed with the amount of information that's online, and very few people are overwhelmed with the impact that that content is having. So we started to dig into that a little bit more and started to do some introspection and think about, okay, what content is it that really gets people excited when we put it out, as far as the podcast and Facebook posts and blog posts? And then what content really makes a big difference on our business when we're reading other people's content? And the realization that we came to was that when people share a personal story, when they quote unquote bleed on the page, when they become vulnerable and very authentic and very real, and then share the lessons that they learned from that experience, that's when we actually remember the stories. That's when we feel closer to the writer. So we're putting together that multi-voice site with all sorts of different stories and then the lessons learned in each person's kind of zone of genius.
You're right. When I hear a story, if there's a lesson in someone's personal story, you do kind of latch on to that lesson, or you can remember it or communicate it to another person more easily than maybe a lesson or a tip that you learn just through a regular blog post or something.
Exactly. So if you think back to like the last 10 blog posts that you've read, most of them follow this format of like the top 5 steps to doing X, Y, or Z, or the top 5 tips for being a successful mom, or whatever the case is. It's really hard to remember those. I don't remember what tip number 3 was. I have no idea. I probably spent, you know, a good 3 or 4 minutes reading that article. And so much of our time online is spent consuming this content that we never actually remember and we never actually implement. So we want to help fix that by bringing more story, more personality into writing, because there's textbooks out there and there's information out there for days and days. You can never get through it all. But the question is it really making an impact on your business? And are you actually implementing and remembering it?
So is your new solo podcast, the In-Demand Brand, is that going to be connected to your new Limitless Business site, or is this kind of separate altogether?
So the In-Demand Brand Show podcast is going to be my solo podcast. So it'll live on my personal website. And whenever I have a particularly good episode, especially one where I tell a story and then apply a lesson to it, then we'll feature an episode from that podcast on the limitlessbusiness.com. So limitlessbusiness.com is going to be highly curated. I'm going to be finding the very best episodes from different podcasts, the very best articles from different blogs, and pulling them together to one place, so to make sure it's all really high impact content.
That's a great idea. I'm excited to see it.
Thank you. I'm really excited. I've been deep in the lands of launching, so I'm excited to, you know, I'm starting to see all the pieces come together, because we've had a lot of the contributors say yes. Now I finally have a landing page up, so all of the pieces are starting to fall where they need to. So I'm getting really, really, really excited. It's going to be a big year in 2015.
Great. So let's talk a little bit about working remotely, which is something you've managed to create for yourself, and it's worked so well as a military spouse. Can you tell us a little bit more about how that has saved your career and just made your life so much better?
When we were at Fort Campbell, Kentucky, that was the first duty station that I moved to be with my husband. And it took me 6 months to find a job in my field, which was excruciating. I was at home. I was thinking up bizarre business ideas because I was – and I was, like, painting cabinets. I was doing all sorts of weird things. We didn't have any kids at this point, so I was going a little bat crazy with being cooped up in the house. I ended up taking a job as a temp bank teller in rural Tennessee, and at my very lowest point – when I was making about $200 a week, I found myself faking a Southern accent so I could blend in rural Tennessee. And I'm from Michigan, so I don't have a Southern accent at all. So I realized that I was definitely not living my truth. I was not living up to my potential or to my own expectations of myself. And instead of blaming the military lifestyle, which is kind of easy to do, because it's a really challenging lifestyle to have a fulfilling and successful career in when you're moving around so often, I realized that, like I said in the beginning of this episode, I needed to find a smarter way. I needed to find a better way. So I started small. I just started by, I think, writing radio ads, actually, for – he's now my CEO. So I got a little bit lucky. The first person that I worked with, I ended up continuing to work for and getting more and more and more work. But – if you are at home or if you're not bringing in the income that you want or if you just don't have the desire or the capability to work outside of the home for whatever reason, working remotely and starting small just by freelancing, by offering different services online is a fantastic, fantastic way to build your skills, just to start taking action. I hit a low point with my confidence when I was stuck at home, and then especially when I was working as a temp worker trying to pretend that I was a Southern belle when clearly I am not. So just having that project that I could call my own, that I could work on and stretch my mind, gave me so much more confidence to do bigger and better things over time.
So what are ways that other moms can get the word out there about what they can do from home or to find those online jobs?
If you have a network, I always recommend starting there. I had some clients from my marketing job that I ended up getting in Tennessee that I worked remotely with for a little bit. But if you don't have that, if you don't have connections to, say, people or businesses that could use any type of services, say VA services or design, whatever your talent or interest lies in, there's probably some online work that you could do. So I recommend using one of the many remote job sites. There's a website called weworkremotely.com that has a lot of great job openings that are all remote. There's always Elance and Guru. I happen to find mine at Freelance Switch, but that has since gone away. I know that there's also writing jobs at problogger.net. So there's a lot of different websites. I'm sure I'm missing 17 of them, but just going to those marketplaces and applying for jobs is a great way to get started.
Excellent advice for moms at home who are looking for something else to do and really to build their own future as you have, which is wonderful. I'm curious, as someone who has helped to launch a digital marketing agency with Infinitus, you know, I know obviously you weren't the CEO there, but you helped with that process. What goes into that? How does a marketing agency in today's world attract new customers the way Infinitus has been able to do so?
We've been really, really lucky because we've had kind of astronomical growth. A lot of that, to be completely transparent, has been built from my CEO, Scott, his prior relationships in business. So those relationships are always, always key. And I'll give a quick tip. It might sound a little intimidating, but maybe you should start your own 100 rejection letter project to give yourself a little kick in the tush to do this. One thing that we've been doing to build new relationships on top of the ones that we already had is we've been hosting limitless lunches and limitless dinners. So we invite 6 to 8 essentially strangers, like people in business that we'd like to know, to lunch and facilitate a conversation where you talk about your challenges, your whatever you're really passionately working on. And those types of in-person relationships are a great way to build very deep and authentic relationships really, really quickly. Building relationships online takes a little bit longer, but that is also definitely a route that you can take. So we leveraged a lot of those existing relationships that we had, and we also we're a bigger agency, so we also reply to a lot of what's called an RFP. It's a request for a proposal. And there's different databases that you can actually access that has all of these RFPs where people, companies and government agencies need a website built or they need some other digital service done, and they'll ask companies to send in proposals. So that's one way that you can also get started when you don't have a lot of pre-existing relationships.
That's really interesting. I did not realize those databases existed. That's really neat that, you know, even a smaller company or individual could potentially apply and submit a proposal.
Yep, it's fair game, especially with a lot of the government agencies. They're required to take proposals from everybody. So it's up to you to demonstrate your expertise, your portfolio, that kind of thing. I'm not sure exactly like the cost of each of those different databases. I think there's a small, like a nominal monthly fee to be able to access all of those RFPs. But there's also, if you just did a search for maybe a city plus RFP, you'd get a lot of results on Google as well.
The accounting firm that I used to work for, that was kind of like what made them. They were just a two-man accounting firm operation, and they submitted a proposal from an RFP for a big county in our area. And, you know, they were competing against all these other bigger firms to do the whole county audit. But this little two-man job won the bid, and that kind of is what launched them to grow their accounting firm.
So. Yeah, that's great. That's great. And I want to encourage people too, as they're launching new businesses, relationships are always key. That's probably the quickest way. And that's probably online marketing heresy to say that building relationships online is the quickest way to get new business. But it actually is. But beyond that, once you've already put in some FaceTime with people, it's really important to have the basics right. So make sure that you have a website that clearly communicates your values, what you offer, your personality. Give people a reason to choose you over other people. If you're just another web designer, if you're just another graphic designer, whatever your thing is, there's probably, you know, thousands of other people out there that do the same thing as you, like I said. So make sure that you're differentiating yourself in some way. Don't be afraid to lose all the corporate speak, all of the jargon. I've actually instituted a jargon jar at our agency. Every time somebody says some nonsensical jargon word, I make them put a dollar in the jargon jar because I hate jargon so much. I'm so much more of a fan of talking to people like they're humans, because guess what? There are humans that are reading your website and reading your marketing materials. So make sure you treat them like you would treat a friend or somebody that you know personally.
That's wonderful. You've definitely given us all a lot of advice we can chew on and take action on. So I'm excited. I'm excited to kind of hone our own brand personality a bit more after now knowing for sure what it is.
That quiz was just so helpful, I thought. It really kind of pinpointed where we need to focus and what image we want to make sure we're conveying in everything that we do. So that was, I loved it.
It's a great way to put it, because there's so many different things that you could do and so many ways that you can say something. It's really important to put a filter on what you're doing, because if you're anything like me, I'm a mom, you know, so I'm a caregiver in parts of my life. I am a washed up high school athlete, so I might have some aspects of the hero personality in me. I am the magician. I also like nice things, so I can kind of lean towards the royalty personality at some points. But it's really important to hone in on what you are at your truest core and make sure you're communicating that consistently so people aren't confused by you. Confusing people is the quickest way to kill a sale.
Well, as we wrap up, could you share a funny story maybe that you have had recently with your son?
This happened just last night, and it's not business related, but it was such a big mom win that I had to share. So we recently transitioned Afton to a big boy bed. So we've been having nightly battles with this whole process. It's been a trip. So every night it's been just a major meltdown and tears, and he's starting to get more vocal now. So he's saying, no bed, no bed, no bed. Just hates it. Fights us all the way through, you know, brushing his teeth to changing his diaper to everything. He hates going to bed. So my husband and I last night were sitting on the couch and we were bantering back and forth about who should have the honors of putting him to bed that night, since it's always such a production. And as we were having this conversation, Afton walks away, calls over his shoulder. He says, "Night, night." And he went and laid himself down and went to sleep. Yes. Parenting win.
That's pretty incredible. Whatever trick resulted in that, or subliminal messaging, we need to
look. I know. If I can just duplicate that for every night from now on, that would be fantastic.
And now I know that you really are a magician, Kay.
Every day.
Well, thank you so much for chatting with us, Kay. It's been a ton of fun, and we've definitely learned a lot from you as well. What is the best place or places where our listeners can find you?
Gosh, I'm kind of all over, aren't I? The best place to find me would just be my personal website, kayputnam.com, and then I'm on Twitter at marketingkay. Feel free to reach out by email if you have any questions. My email is on my website. I'd love to chat with you about your brand. I'm not offering a lot of services related to it right now since I'm focused on, you know, launching this new website, but I'm always happy to help people and give back to the business community whenever I can.
Great. Thank you so much.
Thank you. This was a blast.
So I'm curious, did you take the brand personality quiz? What is your brand personality? I would love to hear about it. Find her episode on our Facebook page and tell me what it is. I'm curious to know if our group has a lot of girl next door brand personalities like Beth Ann and I were, or if we have a lot of different brand personalities represented in our group. So, like I said, I'm so curious to know what the different brand personalities are of our Brilliant Business Moms listeners. So definitely head on over to our Facebook page, Brilliant Business Moms, and let us know. And if you're looking for all the other places that you can find Kay, her website, her new podcast, the Limitless Business site that she is starting, just head on over to the show notes, brilliantbusinessmoms.com/76. And we'll have links to all the places that you can find Kay, because I'm sure you realize, much as we did, she's a wealth of knowledge when it comes to branding and marketing, but she makes it so easy to understand and to implement. I hope you're having a really great day. Now it's your turn to head out there and be brilliant.